What are you going to play, Sam?
We're going to play Take Me Out to the Ball Game. We're all going to sing it, too.
Welcome you in to a special edition of Meet Me at Mutual. I'm your host, Daniel Shoptaw, C70 at the Bat, at City70. And with me is Alan Medlock, AMedlock1 on Twitter, at the Redbird Daily. Hope to be joined by Kyle Reese from the Redbird Daily, KylerR416 on Twitter. Hopefully have him here pretty soon before we get done with our discussion. As we told you last week, we were not planning to do a show this week. Was not going to be that way. Alan and I are heading to St. Louis tomorrow, going to meet up with a lot of other bloggers, going to go to the game Sunday, get a chance to talk to Mo, all that kind of fun stuff. And Mo gave us plenty to talk about today, so we thought we'd go ahead and try to break a little bit of this down. So let's recap. If you're listening to this, you pretty much know what's going on, but let's recap the highlights here. Johnny Peralta put on and designated for assignment. As the Cardinals activate Colton Wong, and that was pretty much what was expected. The rest, not as much. Chris Maloney is reassigned within the organization. Mike Schilt takes over playing third base, maybe not playing third base, but coaching third base, and taking care of the outfielders, kind of backing off of his quality control issues or responsibilities, whatever those may have been. Bill Mueller goes on a personal leave of absence, and it's a Mike Babubka. I'm botching that right now. I'll have to look that up. But I realize Baduska is coming up to be the fill-in assistant hitting coach. And then Pop Warner, who is a name that many have known for a long period of time. He's been in the minor leagues a long time. He's promoted up. Almost like the quality control coach replacement, but they didn't really say what he was doing. And not sure if Pop Warner is just there to sit on Mike Matheny's shoulder and say, get better. I don't know what his deal is, but he's up. And then, you know, Mo says basically he's going to evaluate this team over the next month to 6 weeks. If they don't get better, the organization probably will go through a selling phase that they're not used to. And there is no guarantee that neither Mike Matheny or John Mozeliak will be with the team come the end of the year, if that is the case. Alan, that was a lot of stuff. That's why we had to get onto this. Let's take the easy stuff first in Colton Wong and Johnny Peralta. Again, not unexpected, but apparently, at least for Tommy Pham, a little bit of a tear in the clubhouse to lose a Peralta.
Yeah, that's I was glad to see that move done. I didn't think they painted Peralta in the best light whenever Mozeliak was talking about it today. You could tell the weight of the world was on his shoulders on the press conference. He looked emotional when he came out, which almost made me think that there may have been Matheny inroads on this. Like, he may be one of the ones that was getting released, which they cut that out real quick. You know, he made it clear what was going on. But you know, back to the Peralta deal, he made it sound like they offered every opportunity to play in time, find new positions, see where you can fit in, whatnot. They made it sound like Peralta just said no, that he didn't want to learn a new position. He felt like he was an everyday player now, and he wanted to see what else was out there. So I think that there was no other choice to do that. I think that move needed to be made. I'm glad. I hate the coaches. I don't want anybody losing their job. You know, you never want that to happen to anybody. But something needed to be done here. They've just been flat, and you could tell there were problems. Yeah, I did think the Pham quote was interesting, because he pointed out things that were really directed at certain people, it felt like. And I've heard I heard a situation last year when they were playing Wong in the outfield. Wong had kind of let something slip that Pham wasn't the most popular guy in the clubhouse. So I think there may be a splintered relationship between several of these guys. And even, I read the Ortiz article just before we got on here about how things it's perceived that things aren't going that well in the clubhouse, not even just on the field, but, behind closed doors, to where they had to have a players-only meeting Wednesday. Didn't seem to motivate them Wednesday or Thursday. But, they did have the meeting. They probably played their cards, threw their cards on the table, figured that out, and then, management took the role from there. So, yeah, a lot going on. I'm just personally glad that they're doing something, that they're just not sitting pat, because that was my biggest concern, is they're going to ride this out and stay the course way too long, and they're just going to be buried in the division.
Yeah. Now, let's do point out that as far as we know, nobody that has affected today at all is losing a paycheck.
No.
I don't know that Dave Maloney's paycheck will be the same as he is reassigned in the organization. I don't know how all this works. I don't know if the people coming up will get more, whatever. But yeah, except for Johnny Peralta, everybody still has a job, and Johnny Peralta is still getting paid. So,
mm-hmm.
That's a great
point.
There is that. And that is somewhat the life of a coach, is to, do what you can in the organization's thing. Now, I think it's going to be interesting to see what they do with Chris Maloney. I mean, being that it's reassigned within the organization, kind of makes it feel like they don't have a clue where he's going. They just had to get him out of third base.
Sure.
Because otherwise they tell him he's going down to Memphis to work with hitters or whatever, and that is apparently not the case. But yeah, I think Peralta, it's very interesting for Peralta to take this approach that he's a full-time player, when I know he has made comments that, obviously Jed Jerko was hitting well. Jed Jerko was like one of the few people that's hitting well. So he can't play third base unless Peralta thinks that they should move Jerko over to, second. I don't think even Johnny Peralta thinks he's a shortstop anymore. I may be wrong, but I don't think he feels like he's a shortstop anymore. But he won't go get grounders and practice at first base to have a shot. Now, let's be fair, he's probably not going to play a whole lot of first base either. That's the whole reason Matt Adams is in Atlanta.
Sure.
But when you've got third base and you've got first base, he has played some outfield before, although I don't think any of us really want to try that out again. It gives you at least that option of, at least you get in there twice as much as you are right now, and he didn't do that. That is his right, but it doesn't help him stay on the roster. I did think it's kind of interesting that Mo said they did not try to trade him this week. They were going to let him see if the opportunities were there for him to play, and they weren't, which is... I don't know if it's telling. To some degree, it's telling. It's the opposite of what people would think out of Mike Matheny, because you'd think he'd be playing him all the time, and he didn't. And I think that's to Mike Matheny's credit. But, in a seven-game losing streak, there was no particular time for Johnny Peralta to start. Now, I know the Cardinals led in a lot of those games, and it wasn't that bad, but seriously, there still was no time for him to start and when his job might be on the line. Yeah, I think that's pretty telling. Now, we'll see if John Mozeliak is able to trade him this weekend. I would be very surprised, in which case he'll clear waivers, and maybe somebody will pick him up for the league minimum. But it's just interesting, I think, the perception that Johnny Peralta has of what his skill level is and what the organizations and what fans, which may not be accurate, perception is. It's very strange, I think, to see a veteran player like that not concede a little bit to the coming of time. But that's it. Who knows? Maybe if he can go somewhere and he can get a regular starting spot, he can produce. It just feels like that's not what we've seen out of Peralta in a while, and it seems very unlikely we would see it going forward.
Yeah, if it was a few short months or even the end of last year, if that was the situation, I would think that he may have a bounce back. But we're going on almost 2 years. The second half of 15, is when we really started seeing the drop off. Last year, he was, you know, had the injury, never really bounced back, but hadn't really hit with authority in easily a year and a half. So, you know, I don't know. I think that was an easy move to make of all the ones today. I thought that that was that one was pretty simple and fairly straightforward. Now, I was a little concerned. What is it? I mean, what's done is done, of course. Now, and that's the preferred move. Now, it seems like DeJong's kind of come back down to earth a little bit. I was a little concerned that it may buy Peralta a little bit of time. But, you know, they seem pretty committed to letting DeJong work through things at the big league level now. So that's, now I say that, and he may go down here, you know, in the next, you know, 2 days, whenever they need the extra pitcher, and it sounds like Grichuk's going to be back. So, you know, I don't know. You know, I think it was the right move. I hate to see somebody that's meant so much to the organization and done so much for the organization for this to happen. And it kind of surprised me because I really didn't think the Cardinals would release him just by what he's done. But I think I think Mozeliak's hand was forced on this. I mean, he needed to make moves and he needed to make things happen. And this was a pretty easy one to do.
Yeah, I mean, Johnny Peralta, like I said, at some point in time, there are some times where John Mozeliak will make a move that's beneficial to the player as well. And I think to some degree he probably said, okay, Johnny, if you think you've got these skills still, let's release you. Let's let another team pick you up, and hopefully you'll do that. But you can't. There's just no way you're going to be able to do that here.
Sure.
Because unless Jed Jerko, you know, really damaged himself and couldn't play, or Colton Wong was going to be out for a long period of time, and they might think about moving Jerko back to second. Either of those cases doesn't seem likely. He wasn't going to play. So, yeah, that was pretty much the obvious choice. And there were options, like you said. DeJong could have gone down. Huffman, who they just brought up, could have gone back down because he apparently had another option. But this made a lot of sense. And to get into the coaches, and again, you know, it to some degree feels like shifting deck chairs on the Titanic.
Sure.
You know, because how much, I mean, one, how much do coaches make the impact? And two, the biggest coaches that you have are, you know, Mike Matheny, John Mabry, Derek Lilliquist. And I don't know that anybody really faults Derek Lilliquist, although I guess if you look at the bullpen, maybe they should. I don't know. But still, the heads of those departments, if you will, all of them stayed there. You know, how much of an impact can, you know, removing the third base coach or, you know, changing the assistant hitting coach, how much can that really do?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's, you know, I think that it's one of the moves that fans wanted to see. I know they don't play that game, you know, to do that to appease the public. But I think that there's just a definite mindset that they're trying to change. I think that they're trying to shuffle things. I think this is the most dramatic shuffle without blowing things up or firing Matheny, which I just don't think that's going to happen. I mean, until, especially, they made that clear that it probably will not happen. That may be reevaluated after the season, but that's not going to happen midseason. That's what I would take from it, is that they're going to, this is the most dramatic way they could send a message without removing some of the players that they're going to need there to improve. You know, just like, that's where the trade market's going to be so hard for them, is some of the players that are worth trading are the exact players they need. So, you know, I think that this is just one of the ways that they could go about it and make a statement. Hey, we're changing the mindset on this. We've got to do some things differently. And they did that without losing any major pieces on the field.
It also, to some degree, feels like that very final warning. Like, you know, when you were a kid and your parents could say, stop it, stop it, don't do that. And then there was that moment where you knew that if you did it one more time, you were going to pay. And it feels like this is one of those things. It's like, hey, we're serious, play better. And because if this doesn't work, you got a lot more people going to be gone. And these are people that aren't going to be getting a paycheck when we're done with them. You know, these are people that are going to be, you know, fired outright. They're going to be, you know, shipped off to different organizations. things are going to be. This is as much the low-key shuffle there, but the next one that's coming is going to be a lot more. And just the way I feel like that it gets that. You know, I think that there are... I mean, Pop Warner has been around these guys, especially the ones that have come up through the minor leagues, a long time. I think, I don't know, Badeska, I think, has a pretty good reputation as a hitting coach.
Yeah.
He's not the one that they sent Grichuk down to work with, did they?
No, that's an interesting story with him, too, is he was at Palm Beach and actually followed Grichuk to Memphis.
Okay. So he is the one they sent Grichuk to then.
No, this is not the same guy.
Oh, not the same guy. Okay, I got you. Yeah. I got you. Okay. Yeah. I don't, again, I think that was interesting that, I mean, said he's got a good hitting, he's got a good reputation. He's worked with some of these guys before. We know, I mean, he's been at Memphis, and we know what happened with Colton Wong and what happened to Randall Grichuk when they went to Memphis last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
They hit like crazy, and they came back up and hit pretty well for a little while until, you know, in theory, I guess if you want to be cynical, John Mabry got a hold of him again.
yeah.
Those kind of things, I mean, they're small changes can make an impact, and maybe this will do that. If nothing else, maybe they'll, you know, gain a couple of runs here and there by Chris Maloney not sending runners home. But it's still, you know, again, it just feels like it's hard to know that this is going to be different. I do think it's kind of interesting that apparently they did not close the door on Jose Oquindo returning to the major league staff, that they considered that at this time and didn't think that they really needed that. But, you know, if more changes come and Oquindo is available for that, and again, he'd have to accept that, but you know, you could see him back at the big league level.
It was interesting that somebody asked that question, and then Mozeliak answered. He goes, "I did consider it," and then he went through his reasonings for it. But McLaughlin really got into some of the details tonight on the broadcast.
Okay.
He said that when they looked at both party situation and with Jose's family situation, he didn't think something in season was the right move for him. And I thought that was funny because Hrabowski immediately jumped in and said, well, you know, he turned down La Russa's first offer to be a coach because he wanted to stay in the minor leagues to help the young guys and to, you know, stay close to home. But the thing is, you could tell this was a lot deeper than what Mozeliak had. You know how he doesn't give away information. There was more to this conversation than what Mozeliak offered in his description at the press conference. And that's just probably protecting both parties. To go back on this, and you know how you said that this could be this is your last chance. There could be major, major changes if things don't change. I am not completely convinced that Matheny didn't stand up for his guys the first time and say, hey, look, if you're going to let these guys go, you may let us all go. I'm not convinced that that may not have been said, because there was just that, like, Nightingale had something that came out that said, hey, there's going to be coaching changes. It's undetermined what they are yet. And I'm wondering if Matheny didn't try to dig in his heels at one point and say, hey, I don't want to fire coaches. You know, the players are at fault a little bit here too. But, you know, I think the best move was made, and this is probably the safest move to make. I know there's a lot of people unhappy with it. I would just love to have been a fly on the wall to find out some of the details on how this did go down.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that Matheny did his best to, you know, fight for his guys, because these are his guys, and I know that we talk about players being his guys, but the coaches really are.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't say that in a negative way. I mean, these are the guys that he's hired. These are the guys that he's kept going. You know, these are the guys that he wants there and he trusts there, at least in theory he does. I mean, I don't know that Mike Schilt is the guy that, I don't know how much that was impressed upon him versus what he chose, but, you know, for the most part, these are guys that he wants on his staff. And so I'm sure he did, but there's only so much you can do when the team is, you know, on a 6-game losing or 7-game losing streak before tonight, which thankfully it snapped. Although that could be another discussion. They won, but they still only scored 3 runs against the Phillies. I don't know if all the problems are solved. But you know, I mean, and you've got a team that is mired, and it just doesn't look good all the way around, and you've got a fan base that's very aggravated. You can only save so much, and maybe that he was able to save Mabry's job. Who knows? Maybe he convinced Bill Mueller to take that personal time. You know, and I don't know what Mueller. You know, after Stephen Piscotty going home to see his mother with ALS, I mean, you definitely don't want to speculate on, you know,
lethal
absences. I mean, you have no idea. There could be something serious in the Mueller family. There could be something else, or this could be just a, you know. Why don't you take some time off, and we'll see if we should bring you back later. We don't know that. But I guess it probably depends on how well they hit while he's gone. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm
glad that they did promote the minor league guys, though. Mm-hmm. It's not like they're going to go outside the organization, so that may not make much sense. But what I do like is, hey, our minor league system's good. You guys win games. Let's see what you can do up here. I feel like that was some of the pressure that was put on Matheny and Mabry as well.
Could be. Could be. And, like you said, midseason especially, you're probably not going out and hiring. And it's not like, I mean, coaches, you've got a Dave Duncan, you've got a Mike Maddox, you've got a Ray Searidge. There's four or five coaches that come out very, well, more often pitching coaches than hitting coaches when you think about it. But there's a few that get their name out there that are kind of gurus, that kind of work with anybody.
Yeah.
But for the most part, you know, I don't know if they're not that interchangeable. I don't know. Obviously, never been in a situation. I'm sure there's, you know, everybody's got some uses. But, you know, so I don't know that it's not like you can go out and sign a big hitting coach to make an impact. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So it makes sense to stay inside the organization. And like I said, there are guys, like I said, this guy, Baduska, has a good reputation. There's other ones that do. I mean, there are guys that maybe have a different philosophy. And I think that's huge. I think getting fresh input, getting a different look at things can be a big thing.
I think that's a lot of it. I think it's just to break the stale atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something. Whether that'll mm-hmm. be enough, I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, six weeks, basically. It's basically from here to the All-Star break. John Mozeliak's going to reevaluate this team. I mean, what do you think? I mean, is this enough to get them? Again, they're not that far out of first place. I mean, they're way out the wild card right now. But, you know, I know they won tonight. Let's see, the Brewers are ahead. It looks like, yeah, they're up 8-6. So that's although they're out in Arizona, that could change. But, you know, that gives them. They're only what, 3.5, 4.5 out?
I think they're 4 after tonight.
Yeah, they are 4 right now. It'll depend on the game.
The outcome
of the game. So they could be 3.5, could be 4.5. I mean, they do have a lot of teams to climb over. And I will say one of my fears was that the Cubs were about to click and take off, and they've lost 3 to the Rockies. So maybe they continue to hang around the pack. So there is, you know, a 5-game winning streak even. And that's not, I mean, it seems to be asking a lot for this team, but for a regular team, a 5-game winning streak is not a huge deal. I mean, that happens. And that could get you, I mean, well, right now, it gets you back to 500. Well, it'd be a 6-game
because
you'd win tonight. But, you know, you're right at the 500, and you're back within striking distance. You know, I feel like there's still potential there. But it's just going to boil down to these guys producing, because as much as we want to talk about trades and possible additions, it comes down to Fowler hitting, Carpenter hitting, mm-hmm. Diaz hitting, Wainwright pitching, Walker pitching, those kind of guys going out there and giving what they can do. And I'm not saying they have to be, you know, superstars. I'm saying they have to be out there being what they normally are. You put all that together, this team can do something, especially in a weak division.
Yeah.
But if they don't, you know, all the shifting around doesn't do any good.
You're exactly right. I mean, for me, tonight felt good because Walker, I gained a little bit of confidence back in Walker after tonight. I thought he looked really good. Gave up a few hard hit balls, but battled, stayed in the game, got out of trouble. The bullpen looked great tonight, and that's one of those that lined up perfectly. I know you can't do that every night, But that's one of those things, they needed to happen. They needed to get those nine outs. You know, that was huge. And Fowler, Carp, Diaz, all hit, all had multiple hits. You know, they're not going to do that every night, but that's what's going to spearhead this. So I'm wondering, you know, no, they didn't come out and score 8-9 runs and bury Hellickson early, but they did win and their stars did shine tonight. So I'm wondering, you know, I'm thinking, okay, Walkie even said some key things after the game. He's like, look, we get it. He goes, we're a level-headed clubhouse, but we get it. We know it's time to turn it on. You know, we need to do it now, not bury ourselves. Fam is becoming a great soundbite. Said the same thing. He goes, we can't keep losing these leads. He goes, we got to finish teams off. We got to be right back into it. So a good week right now with Milwaukee in for four puts you right in the heart of things.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, this would be the perfect time. Scheduling and just sheer randomness of as bad as they played, you'd think that they're gonna play better eventually. And the schedule, it seems they could go on a little bit of a run here to put themselves back in the middle of things. And you're fortunate to only be four games out. So it's, you know, all hope is not lost. But the stars have got to be stars. I mean, we can't hope for that big bat to come in. We can hope for it. We can't expect it. The roster now has to improve before they can go out and get anybody. I still don't see. I could see them being buyers and sellers. I don't think there would be I don't think they would go out and just be all out sellers. It just didn't make sense, you know, to me, or how they've done things in the past. But I still, maybe just the ultimate optimist to me, I still think they get back into this, and I think they play better baseball.
Hopefully so. I'm trying to find this out. I was looking up a little bit on Mark Badeska, and there comes up an IMDb credit for a baseball movie back in 1991. I think he may have been a coach or something in this thing. I can't prove that it's the same guy, but it seemed very strange that it's not, you know, a baseball movie, his only appearance. I bet it is. So we may have a talent for the game. Not a movie I'm familiar with. Apparently had something to do with the Angels and the California Angels. So,
oh yeah, I've seen it. It's, yeah. I don't want to get into it, but I could give you the synopsis of what it was. There's there's a starting pitcher who used to be a mummy chaser, and then the coach was Edward James Olmos, formerly of Blade Runner. So, yeah, I remember it well. It's a terrible movie, but, you know, I watched all baseball movies growing up, so that's how I remember it. But, no, I do not recognize him from the film.
And it may not be him. I mean, he played in baseball till 1981, so that's 10 years before that. He's been in coaching for quite some time. You know, I don't know. He may have been with the Angels organization back then, and that's how he got into it. I don't know. It does not show up on his Wikipedia page, so I can't guarantee. Maybe we can get Derek Gould, Derek Gould to ask about his star
time, yeah,
at some point in time, being that I hear about Derek Gould's cameo in some movie that's coming out about every other podcast, it seems like. not that often, but it does. Mm-hmm. He's in a movie with Kate Upton, so you kind of like that. So, and I think I went down a rabbit hole, and now I got to figure my way back out. Let's talk a little bit about Tommy Pham's comments, because I think this really kind of goes to the heart of what a lot of people are saying about Mike Matheny. Tommy Pham, if you didn't see it, you know, said losing Peralta hurt because Peralta was a pro. He was a baseball player. He said, and I'm not reading the quote, but it's something like he wasn't in the chess club, he wasn't in the ping pong club, he wasn't in the video game club, he just came to play baseball. You know, that, again, maybe we're reading into it, although I don't know that we can be too much. It feels like that's saying, hey, there's at least some divisions in this thing, because it doesn't sound like Tommy Pham's in any of those clubs as well. And
yes,
it
kind of
goes to
thought.
What you said just a while ago about, you know, maybe he has. And if it's just Tommy Pham and Johnny Peralta, that's one thing. But, you know, there's also this division in the clubhouse that, again, one of the things we have been told, Mike Matheny can lead men. And if he's not doing that, there's not enough to hold him there.
Yeah. Yeah, and I read that a lot today. They're just like, you know, you got this leader of men, you've got to come in and fire his coaches that he brought on because he's not leading. You know, that's sometimes he can do no right. And I agree with that. You know, I hate to say it. There's a lot of I thought that may be the major shakeup today, but yeah, you're right. I mean, it's you always hear those rumors just from the periphery about how things aren't going smoothly. And then you also hear the people who say that doesn't matter. I'm not one of those people. I mean, I think that, you know, there's some clubhouses that didn't like each other, but they all seem to pull on the same rope. Yeah, that's the first thing I thought. I was like, well, we know who wasn't involved in that. And it's funny, in a broadcast earlier this year, someone was talking about how talented Jed Jerko was at everything. And the three things they brought up were video games, ping pong, and chess. And because they pointed out chess, because they're like, you know, the West Virginia kid, you know, chess, what, you know, whatever, and they were kind of making a joke about it. But I found it, maybe I'm reading way too much into it, that he pointed those three things out, and he's griping about Peralta leaving, and all we heard was Jerko being good at those, and you wonder if there's just not some issues of Jerko was given first chance and probably shouldn't have been. You know, that's the thing that I thought about it. But, you know, even reading into it a little bit more than that, well, Pham wouldn't have been involved in that, you know, because Pham got hurt and he was jettisoned out of spring training fairly quickly whenever it was clear that Martinez was going to win that spot.
Yeah, I mean, and again, it's you can complain a lot about how a person gets a job. There's no doubt. I mean, people still complain about how Jack Buck got into the organization, mm-hmm. into broadcasting. But there comes a point where a man has earned his job, you know, whether he should have been there or not. You know, Jed Jerko has done nothing but hit, and for a team
Absolutely.
That can't, so you can't. Again, I don't think that, you know, even if Johnny Peralta comes out of, I mean, he came out of the organization healthy, and it, I mean, if he'd been healthy out of, you know, without the respiratory infection or whatever, I still think eventually, you know, Jerko would have probably taken that spot just because he is hitting.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
So it's difficult to, if you're holding grudges on that, and I get it. I mean, this is your job, this is your livelihood, this is you playing ball, and it's, I mean, we look at it as like, well, okay, you also got $54 million out of the Cardinals or whatever it may be. You're doing all right, but, you know, there's a competitiveness there, and there's a, you know, hey, you know, you want to play ball. And you're not being able to. So, again, I don't know. I would like to. It would be interesting to know how far those divisions go. Because, like I said, if it's Pham, who's, you know, obviously one of the better hitters right now. Don't get me wrong. But hasn't been integrated into that clubhouse because he's been hurt and been minors and things of that nature. And Peralta, who's not there anymore, then. Okay, maybe you've got your problem. In fact, maybe you trade Pham when it comes down to it, especially if he's proven he can be a major league hitter. Maybe you trade him.
Sure.
I mean, I'm not saying that you should, not that I want him to, but, you know, if that's all your clubhouse problem, then you do that. But I it would bet that for those two being kind of pointed out right now, kind of bet that there's more than just that. And there may be a bit of a clubhouse clash, if you will. It is probably good. They've had, what, they've had two players-only meetings, I think, in the last mm-hmm. week or so. You know, it's funny because, you know, again, we talked about, you know, they talked about getting on the same page. They did that escape room. They did all this stuff in spring training to supposedly, you know, lighten the clubhouse and be on the same page. They've got Dexter Fowler in there. He's supposed to bring his personality. And, you know, it hasn't meshed for some reason.
Yeah, and you'd think any aspect of this team, it's weird. Outside of starting pitching, nothing has gone as planned. Nothing. Not one aspect of anything has gone as planned. You know, this new clubhouse chemistry. Now we hear that may have gone down the toilet. They can't hit. You know, defensively, they're awful. You know, infield defense, I do think it's improved. Now, I thought that before the presser today, but their outfield defense is bad, and it's just every aspect of the game. And you're thinking, well, is it just one of those things that's just not hitting on all cylinders yet, and it ultimately will, or is it just poorly put together? You know, that's that. I think that's the biggest question right now. And back to that, I think the if Grichuk is back like we think he's going to, and I bet he is, I bet he's back Tuesday night, and I think that's the four-man outfield they'll go for a little bit. But I would be really curious to see who is the, one of those outfielders that are dealt. I think that would be, that'll be pretty telling to see which one of those are. And if it's Pham, I think it's probably really telling, you know, all the details on that, because he has shown that he can play a little bit, you know, when healthy. And it was funny because in Hummel on the 590 morning show the other day, he was one of the four, Pham was one of the four names that he said the Cardinals would get most return on in a trade deal. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was pretty interesting.
Jomo Zaloc is signed through 2018, which is a little bit better. I was thinking he might be coming up this year, and that's not exactly the body of work you want in your free agent year. You do wonder if that'll make for some interesting changes. Whether honestly, I'm not 100% sure that Jomo Zaloc isn't looking to do something different.
See, if the way that I could see this thing playing out, I could see Mozeliak taking the Theo, the Shapiro route, and taking that president's role, mm-hmm. to take over a little bit bigger portion of the baseball ops, and maybe Gersh taking over his spot. I was thinking that would probably be the way that it would go. I have a feeling that he's not a life for GM. I get the same feeling that you do on that. I could see him moving up the ranks and not being the one that has to do the pressers and make these decisions. And, well, actually does, but I still think those president's roles do, is like Sherholtz and everything, or not Sherholtz anymore, but, mm-hmm. I'm drawing a complete blank down in Atlanta. The John guy Hart? From Cleveland is Hart. Yeah, he calls the shots, but they've got the GM Coppola that's, you know.
I think they do the day to day. I think the president's probably set the tone and the day to day stuff or the trade.
Yeah, well put. Well put.
But it, the problem, of course, becomes a little bit that baseball operations really is filled with thirds area of expertise.
Yeah. And
it's difficult, I would imagine, to take a little bit of territory away from the owner's son, not that Bill DeWitt doesn't do a fine job of it, but I think he really has a passion for it. I mean, whenever we've talked to him, and we'll talk to him as well as Mo on Sunday, you know, he knows what he's doing, and I think that we've seen that with Ballpark Village and things like that, even though it took a little longer than expected. But I would not expect John Mozeliak to do some of that stuff, because I think that Bill DeWitt, unless Bill DeWitt, you know, Jr. decides to not sell out, but, you know, kind of retire and let his son take over.
Well, that was my thinking. Yeah, I was thinking everybody would just move up a rung.
And that's possible. Then John Mozeliak could slide into some of that stuff. But, you know, I think, I don't say that in John Mozeliak is bored, or John Mozeliak doesn't care anymore, or John Mozeliak's not going to do whatever. I don't think that. I think John's doing as much of a job as he can with his stuff. I mean, he's doing just the same as if he's trying to earn a new contract. But I do wonder if that plays into, you know, what does happen. You know, does this team get that jolt by putting somebody else in charge, like Gersh, for a while? And you're probably not going to do that until after the trading deadline. I mean, I don't think you could put somebody in place right now without causing, you know, you'd have to basically start from scratch. You know, Mo's got stuff going, and some of that's based on relationships. I don't know. And again, Mike Matheny signed, you know, boy, that 3-year contract. I mean, and then the 3-year contract that hadn't even started yet. I mean, that's the kicker.
Yeah.
You know, it's 3 years after this season, and it just doesn't make sense for the Cardinals to do that. I mean, I know it's an old argument, but, you know, you give him one more year, maybe two to that. So I know, I understand they don't want lame ducks. I know that we're talking, there's been some an article I read today about Dusty Baker out in Washington, because that's all they do.
Yeah.
They don't do the extra year. And that, you remember, Jim Riggleman quit because of it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Dusty's raising a little ruckus as well. He's not going to quit, but he's, you know, hey, I want a contract. So I get, hey, give him an extra year. Maybe it's a rolling forward type of thing. You don't want him to be a lame duck. But if you're going to can him, you're only paying for a year, year and a half. Now you're paying for 3.5 years right now, unless Mike Matheny says, I don't want your money. And Mike Matheny needs the money. I mean, again, we've talked about this before. We know what his financial situation was before he became a Cardinal. And it's not like, I mean, again, he's not going to go hungry after if he gets fired. But he's not set up like the players are, where they've got $85 million in the bank. That's not the way that Mike Matheny is. He's got money, but he probably could use the job. You know what I'm saying? I don't say that in a negative way, because heck, no, sure. I need my job. You know, I don't want to be in trouble if I didn't have mine. So, but I'm just saying that he's not one that is going to probably walk away from that contract. But the Cardinals have set themselves up, so if they have to get rid of him, they're paying a whole lot more than they would have had to. So I just don't get that. I mean, we never did, but it really is biting them, I think, this year. And we'll see. Again, it feels like I don't know if they come to the end of the 6 weeks and the Cardinals haven't gotten better, and they trade off. They're going to trade off Lance Lynn, which, I mean, that's going to happen if they're not buying. And if they make some other trades, who knows, whatever. Do they fire Matheny then, or do they just wait till the end of the year and getting rid of him there? Because there's not much point in bringing in an interim, is there?
No, I don't think so. I would be really surprised if DeWitt fired Matheny. Mm-hmm. I think it would have to be a go-out-on-his-own-terms type situation that, hey, it's run its course, you know, what can we do? Type deal. I don't know. I mean, I just don't see me fired. That may be totally naive on me. From me, I don't know. I just don't see it. I can see, and it may be. You know, it may be one of those that it's a termination, but he's allowed to say it's a resignation. You know, I don't know. I don't know. To answer your question, I don't think it would be during the year. To me, it's hard pressed for me to think that it's going to be within a year.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I would have thought that before, but I think that everything that they keep saying is that the front office, the players, management, everybody knows things need to be better. So there's not this idea that everything's hunky-dory or everything's just going to turn around. I think that they know that there need to be changes made. And I think that, you know, if they aren't, I think that eventually they have to go to that. And I agree. I don't think that they have real urge to, but I also think that if his position was more solid, then that Mo would have said a little bit differently today at the press conference when he said, you know, everybody including myself should be less secure or something like that. I think he could have phrased it of course anything could happen, but we're not planning, you know, that right now there seems to be no plans to change, you know. He didn't say that. He said what he said. I think it's on the radar more than it was ever before. That could be on the edges of that radar, just, you know, just a little blip, but I think it has come up more seriously than it has in the past, just because it's kind of like Peralta. This is not just a, you know, bad 3 weeks. I mean, we're not overreacting on a bad 3 weeks. This is a season that's been, except for that, you know, nice little 18-9 or 18-6 stretch or whatever, has been underperforming. And a 2016 that, for the most part, was underperforming. And a 2015 that, you know, you won 100 games, but I'd have to look, because I still feel like second half, I want to say they won like a lot of those games in April and May. And they were kind of a 500 team down the stretch, you know, and then, of course, got swept out. I mean, you're looking. I mean, that wasn't a great team. I mean, that was an incredible pitching team, but it didn't have offense. It didn't have. I mean, we knew that it was going to be a battle if they got into the play when they got into the playoffs. When they had to battle to get there, and then turned out the Cubs beat them. I mean, you got to go back to, you know, in 13 they had the runners in scoring position stuff that I think masked some of their problems. It is kind of a recurring thing. I mean, we haven't had that team. I mean, now you could say, and I think fairly, 2011 wasn't a great team. It was a team that came together at the right time, and that's a, you know, that's Tony La Russa's team. But it also was a Tony La Russa team that got him ready to quit, too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe this is not just a manager thing, but it feels like there's a malaise that's been there. And to be fair, we're spoiled. We had Pujols for 10 years at the height of his powers. When you can put that out there every day, you kind of forget what everybody else looks like, you know?
Yeah, it's easy to do when you have a superstar. You're exactly right. But, yeah, it's the urgency that's left this team. And, you know, at first I thought that they played really well in 12 and 13 because it felt like the pressure valve had been released with no La Russa. Mm-hmm. But then it just has, year after year after year, they seem to lose that urgency. And, you know, and that's, you would got to think that's on the coaching staff.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's, yeah, I don't, there's just loyalty out of DeWitt that I just feel like Matheny's safe. But you are right. I did feel like, I mean, enough to where you and I were kind of talking off the air about, hey, I've kind of heard some things that this could not be, this could be something major. You know, that buddy of mine texted me and he said, hey, is Matheny out? And I was like, well, I don't know. There's a presser at two. He goes, word in the industry is that he's gone and it was his choice. And, I kind of started buying into it a little bit. Then I come back and he was like, I've just heard there's coaching changes. And I was like, well, that's kind of odd, mm-hmm. you know, for them, because I thought it was going to be something. It ultimately is huge, you know, no doubt about it, but this compounded on four or five moves. I thought the presser for one guy was weird. And then when Matheny didn't have a seat, whenever they showed the podium, I was like, this is bizarre, you know, however they're going to do this. But, yeah, it seemed like there's a lot less. His rope has gotten really short. And, you're exactly right. It's, you know, just like that, you know, that Gould tweet the other day was interesting. They go from, you know, World Series to Division Series. Our World Series, Championship Series, to Division Series, to no series, and, you know, now you're fighting to stay above 500. And he said he was not only the staff and front office noticed that, but a player's even talked about that. And I wondered what player that would be. You know, I have to think it may be Matheny or Molina, but, you know, it does seem like there's a few cracks. I don't know if I'm lying to myself on the deal, but I just don't see DeWitt firing him.
You know, I mean, unfortunately, they're following the path of the Phillies.
Yeah.
You know, 09, they win it. 10, they come up runner-up. 11, no, wait, no, 8, they win it. 9, they're runner-up. 10, they lose in the championship series. 11, they lose to the Cardinals in the division series. 12, I think they missed it completely. And 13, they were in last place. I mean, I don't see the Cardinals doing that. Because everybody knew that the Phillies were kind of top-heavy, and you know, they had that Ryan Howard deal and all that kind of stuff. They knew that. They kind of saw some of that coming.
Yeah.
But you can't rule it out. Unfortunately, now, when you look at what this team is doing right now, you can't rule that out.
I know that we were talking a little bit. I was talking off the record to some of the Red Bird Daily guys, too. What's most frustrating about this season to me is that we've been told for 2 years that they've missed out on these free agents and the talent's being built back up after they took that hit of all the guys graduating to the big leagues, to where now they have the resources to improve, whether that's from within or outside the organization. And there was no changes, and they really just seemed like they were in a spiral. And that was the worst road trip I remember. You know, Brendan Schaefer had asked me, he goes, what do you remember? What was the worst? I said, this is the worst road trip I remember.
No.
Or the worst period outside of the 90s.
No, 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 no. I'll tell you the worst road trip that they've had. 2010. It was a stretch, because they were contending then. That was right after the brawl with Sandy. And I remember this because we wrote about it in an annual for the UCB.
Yeah.
They had had, and I'm trying to roll it out of memory, so you'll forgive me, but they had that brawl, and they'd taken the lead, they'd passed the Reds, and they went on a road trip to Washington, Pittsburgh, and somebody else, I don't remember, and of course this was before Pittsburgh's good, and this is really not when Washington's good, and somebody else, and they go, it's like a 10-game road trip, and they go 3-7 or something like that, and just and that's started them. I think they dropped out of first place, never recovered. It was a miserable road trip. Now this one is bad. You add the import of that one being in a stretch drive. It's probably a little worse than this one, but it's not pleasant. You're right.
Yeah, that's I had forgotten about those. Now I'm trying to rack my brain on it because that would have been Holiday full year. 2010 would have been Holiday's first full year, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, because 09, he came over at the deadline 09. Right, so, right. Yeah, I remember those. I thought you were going to talk about the one in, I can't remember if it was 08 or 09 when they went with the rain out and they had the 5-game set in Chicago. And Chicago wasn't very good. And you're thinking, you know, go in, if you win 3 out of 3, win 4, you'll be fine. They ultimately lost 4 out of 5, and their season was essentially done after that. You know, I thought that's the one you were going to go to. But yeah, that's, I say that just because, you know, maybe I'm just get caught in the moment.
Oh, sure.
But I just hate the unenthused. You know, mm-hmm. That's the one that bothers me so bad. And that's, you know, some of the guys were like, somebody, old, friend of mine from back home, and made the comment. He goes, I'm not a guy to say someone needs to get fired. He said, but is Matheny in trouble on this? I said, well, look at it this way. How would La Russa be handling this? Completely different. You know, you would know that it's about to hit the fan with La Russa. With Matheny, you don't. You know, I think there's a lot of hands being held up. So, you know, I don't know. I'm kind of arguing against myself on the deal, but you know, it's, I just think we're, hands down, we're all just disappointed in how things were going, and we hope it turns around. You know, whatever buttons they have to push.
Yeah, I pulled up, looked that one up in 2010. It wasn't quite as late. It was into August to the 1st of September. They went to Pittsburgh, Washington, and Houston, and went from 2.5 games out. They were actually were down by then to 8 games out over that span. Lost all of them but 2. So it could be ugly. anyway, all right. Well, we did say this was going to be short, and I think we've gone about as long as we normally do.
Perfect.
So we'll wrap it up for the evening. Sorry that Kyle couldn't join us. Look forward to talking to him tomorrow, I guess, about all this stuff. Again, you know how to find us on Twitter. Rate and review us. We appreciate all the people that have done that so far, and we would like it if you want to just use the podcast app there to search for the show and find it, and you can rate and review right there. Until next week, I'm Daniel. That's Alan. Night.
Good night.
Shooter from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss, and that's a winner! That's a winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!